Great Country Key 94. It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tenor from Dunkin' Donuts here in Prairie du Chien. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Kind of a busy week. I mean, it was a nice week weather-wise.
Yeah, crying out loud. I think spring's here.
I went for like 3 walks down on St. Farrell Island because it was so nice.
Enjoy it while you can. I have a feeling it's going to catch
up. We're going to get like 3 feet of snow in April.
I just have a feeling it's going to catch up to us, and we're all going to wish in April that February was back.
Yeah, that's, I keep saying that. Like, yeah. It's going to be like a miserable April or something. I mean, I hope it's not.
Me too. I'm with you.
So the first thing I want to talk about is if you were in Prairie du Chien on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, you noticed a presence of State Patrol. In fact, it was hard not to notice them.
Yeah, I was actually not in Prairie du Chien on Tuesday, but I was aware of their increased enforcement effort that day.
Like, there was a lot.
Yeah, I got the, it's called an operations plan. About a week or so ago, they reached out to us maybe a month ago and said, hey, we are traveling around the state of Wisconsin doing some increased and targeted enforcement in different communities all over the state. And this is the date for your city. And so they asked us if we had any resources available. We had a canine officer that was working that day. So we, you know, made him aware that his services might be asked of. Their intention was to interdict drug trafficking and possession and those types of things. But along the way, they enforce traffic laws because that's what they do. And so I'm not opposed to their efforts. I think that Prairie du Chien is in the state of Wisconsin, and they have jurisdiction throughout the state of Wisconsin. And if we can change driver behavior and in the meantime, interrupt people who may be in possession of drugs or currying drugs through our city, we should do that.
So listening to you say it, it sounds so very, very logical.
Right.
As I'm driving and I see 6 State Patrol cars in a quarter of a mile, I was like,
yes, so there's actually
what's happening?
There's actually traffic safety studies out that show driver behavior change when they view traffic stops. And so,
well, duh.
You know, the intent, well, the intent
they
is
to do a whole study on that.
Well, I mean, believe it or not, there's people that drive through and say, oh, there's a traffic stop, there's no other cops, I'm going to go do what I want to do, right? The study shows that if you have activity within a mile of one another, if you see a state trooper at the airport, and then you see another one at Huckleberry's, and you see another one at, you know, Dairy Queen, you're going to link that as, I have to change my driver behavior, slow down, use my turn signal, make proper turns, all those
not
types of things.
The cop was back there. Now I don't have to use my blinker.
Yep, exactly. It's the same for when we do traffic enforcement with the sheriff's office when we are on traffic safety grants with them. We try to focus on highways. So if we're focusing on Highway 27, they'll put staff on Highway 27. We'll continue that into the city of Prairie du Chien. If they're focusing on Highway 35 or 18, same thing. They have deputies that have an increased effort on Highway 35, and we continue that into the city of Prairie du Chien. And not, again, with the intent to stop everybody, but with the intent of making sure the drivers know that we're out there doing traffic enforcement and that their driver behavior has to change.
Which makes full, like, legit sense.
Well, when you take the 30,000-foot view of it, it makes sense, right? But as you're the motorist that day, I mean, even my wife texted me and said, what in the heck is going on? And I'm like, surprise. Again, another example of me having knowledge, and I'm like, I just don't share it. I mean, I had a radio show last Saturday. I could have shared it, but it's just the State Patrol has their initiatives, and we support those initiatives, and we think that they have an impact on driver behavior, and that's really what it comes down to.
A very, very long time ago, we had Officer Sukas.
Trooper Sukas, yeah.
Trooper,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to offend
him. I am so sorry if he's
listening.
He earned
the hat. We got to call him Trooper.
Please don't pull me over now.
Yeah.
Or any other trooper just because I accidentally called you officer. Either way.
Yeah.
Trooper Sukas was in here a long time ago.
Yeah, we should probably have him back.
We should probably have
him
back.
Yeah, I'll reach out to him.
Either way, I think one of the big myths is always that if you know, state troopers don't operate inside the city limits of Prairie du Chien, or, you know, they're only out on state highways and they, you know, they're not in town, which it would turn out there's a lot of state highways that are in
the city limits of Prairie du Chien. I have heard every opinion on state troopers that exist. I have heard all sorts of myths. I have heard all sorts of accusations over the course of 20 years. They are, their jurisdiction is the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And our county and our city is in the state of Wisconsin. And so they have all authority to enforce traffic laws anywhere in the city of Prairie du Chien. That's just the reality. And I'm not going to stop them. I'm not going to ask them not to, because when we need them, they are always there for us. When we have a question on a traffic crash, you know, how to process something, traffic law, they are the subject matter experts, and we reach out to them and help us. When we need traffic control for events, they help us. And so, you know, I think what they did on Tuesday is necessary in the aspect of changing driver behavior. And I would imagine they're going to come back, and that's okay with me.
Well, it's really funny that last week we talked about traffic in Prairie du Chien.
Yeah, and we did.
Like, it was almost like we gave everybody like a, hey, just remember to, you know, use your blinker here and this.
Yeah, I don't know how much that helps, but I mean, if
Kyle, did you plan that?
I did not.
Are you more clever than I give you credit for?
I did not. If you remember last Saturday, I talked about a conversation I had at a local bank about Marquette Road and navigating that, and so that's what carried over into this, the interview Saturday.
Hey, I was trying to give you more credit that you were.
Yeah, I'm not that clever, not that forward thinking. No.
Well, either way, you did say that you weren't in town on Tuesday.
Correct.
You were at a Chiefs conference.
I was at the Winter Chiefs of Police conference in Wisconsin Dells. Yes.
Yeah. So, do you do this every year?
I try to. So there's a winter conference that's hosted in the Wisconsin Dells, and then there's a summer conference that's hosted in Green Bay. I try to get to both of them. That doesn't always happen, which is, you know, okay. The winter one is much more attended. I think we had 570 chiefs, sheriffs, command staff of agencies, big and small, all over the state of Wisconsin. So, yeah, I try to make the winter one, and then the summer one is actually my favorite one to attend because it's smaller. As you know, I'm not a big crowds person. I don't like a lot of people around me. And I have family in Green Bay, so there's a lot of times where I will either stay at their home and, you know, save a hotel room or just visit.
Yeah.
So it's a good time. But it's really 3 days of networking, and we do training all day long. We have speakers that come in and talk to us about case law updates, mandatory policies that we need to update, things that we need to be concerned about nationally, things we need to be concerned about locally and statewide. I happen to be on the training committee with the Wisconsin Chiefs Association, so I have a hand in planning some of the training, and I get to get up in front of everybody and announce speakers at times. So it's kind of a big deal. I'm also on their legislative committee coming up. I just was appointed to that, so it's
highly exciting.
Well, we have a focus, and that focus is on making policing as safe as it possibly can in the state of Wisconsin. And we've had some pretty good legislation that's passed from, you know, the impact of the Wisconsin Chiefs having conversations with our legislatures and saying, hey, these things need to change, and we have an idea of how we could change it for the better for everybody, not just policing, but for the public as well. So, you know, those things are important. But yeah, we had the former chief from Coral Springs, Florida, came up and gave an overview on the Parkland massacre that occurred down there several years back now. So he just went through, you know, training efforts that you need to be looking forward to, that you need to train your staff up on, and partnerships that you need to build in advance. You should know who your school administrators are so you can link families up properly with their loved ones. You know, have access to those types of databases so you can identify children, and you can identify them when they're coming off the bus at reunification points to account for children. So just little things like that, and it's, you know, it was tremendous. So a lot of risk management stuff. You know, be careful here. Don't allow your staff to do this, or this is a crime trend that we're seeing, and here's how we're combating it and making an impact on it. And it's really a good effort to converse with other chiefs around the state. And I have built some, you know, long-lasting relationships with chiefs from all corners of the state of Wisconsin, and I can call them when I have a question, and they call me when they have a question. And when they experience a loss in their agency, you know, we reach out and help each other. And it's a good network of people who want to do good things for their communities. So we get together and share those ideas.
I would venture to guess that it's also one of those times where you can be like, hey, I'm dealing with XYZ problem. Have you ever had this? Or, you know, you can talk with people of varying size agencies, I would assume. I would assume you're kind of middle of the road for the state of Wisconsin in terms of the size of your agency.
Yeah, it's something like 80% of agencies in the state of Wisconsin are under 30 cops, I believe. And then there's a very large percentage that are under 10. And so of those, you know, that are under 30, the vast majority of those are under 10. But, you know, I sit at a table with the La Crosse police chief, and as we've talked about on this show, their drug problems trickle
are
down to Prairie du Chien. And so, you know, we talk about that and how we can work better and, you know, get information on his drug investigators and link them with my drug investigators and build those relationships so we can solve each other's problems along the way. So, it's a good time. And, you know, you're right. We compare and contrast. None of us have unique problems. That's just the reality. Every community responds to loose dogs, not on a leash, right? Every community responds to barking dog complaints. Every community finds methamphetamine as an issue. I mean, that's just the reality. So, you know, yeah, again, we just compare and contrast and try to figure out a solution that works best for our agencies and not reinvent the wheel, because other agencies, chances are, going through the same issues.
Or, hey, you can say, we tried this and it really wasn't as effective as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You tried this, and how is it effective for you?
One of the biggest things we talked about this year was recruitment and retention of staff. As we've talked about on the show, we've been short staffed for about a year now, and we really talked about recruiting people from other agencies and how we are not helping each other by doing that. And so that is becoming more and more frowned upon, because all we're doing is, you know,
if you hire a deputy, all you're doing is creating a vacancy in the deputy.
It doesn't solve any problems.
Or sheriff's office.
And so how do we market policing to make it more attractive? And
we do a radio show every Saturday morning.
Well, we try, and we haven't figured that out. We haven't figured out the right, you know, switch that needs to be flipped to get people excited to become police officers. And, you know, we have to collectively find that, because I think the last time I counted, we have a website statewide where you can do job announcements. There was somewhere around 90 departments that we're hiring in the state of Wisconsin, and we're looking at a pool collectively that might be 200. And of those 200, you might have 100 that are, you know, eligible for hire. And so there's not a lot of that to go around. And oh, by the way, we work shift work, and we're not always the most popular people. We don't always see people on their best days, and we hear about it. There's a lot that's expected of policing. That's just the reality. We solve, or are expected to solve, most of our community's problems. That's a big mantle for a 22-year-old coming out of college to say, yeah, I would love to go be held accountable to the standards of 120 policies and procedures, and when I screw up, I could go to prison or jail, and, you know, I'm under the microscope, and everybody knows how to do my job better than I do. And I mean, it's just a multitude of things that we have to kind of fight through and work towards a solution collectively.
Almost like a rebranding.
Well, yeah, and it really I think we've lost what policing is about, you know, and so we really have to get that message out there on a broader scale. So
that's what rebranding is.
Yeah, from a communications major to a cop, I guess that's what rebranding means.
That's how you rebrand things.
Yeah, I just used cop language. I didn't use masters of whatever degree you have. So,
not that it's that easy to rebrand. But essentially, you do need somebody who says, you know, our job isn't just pulling people over. It's not, you know, brandishing our weapons to meth heads.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a lot of, you know, talking with kids in a park. It's a lot of stopping at lemonade stands. It's a lot of, you know, being at a holiday parade and handing out Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably more of those things that happen in your officer and your daily life than knocking down doors.
Well,
and
here's the thing I want to stress about all of those things you just mentioned.
We've talked about them all on the show.
No, all of those things are optional. None of those things are required. There's not a single policy that we have in place that says when you drive by a park, you should step out and talk to kids. There's not a single policy we have in place that says you should run a Stuff the Squad event to support Operation Santa Claus. None of that stuff is required of the job. Those are all things that we see the bigger picture of helping our community. And I think that's lost on a lot of people. And I'll go through the volunteer hours of my cops ringing bells at Cabela's for Salvation Army. They don't have to do that.
No.
That is not something that they're required to do, but they see the bigger impact that Salvation Army has on our community. And so they do it. And so for every time I hear people complain about officers, right, I know intimately the sacrifices that they're making of their time to make our community better. And all I ask is that you look yourself in the mirror and say, am I taking the same steps? Am I taking the same energy and efforts in improving my community? Because if you are, kudos to you. If you're not, there's opportunities out there. But they're all optional. And you have to make that conscious choice.
Well, and I would venture to guess that doing something like playing with kids in a park or just being in your community is a far more enjoyable day.
Oh, for sure.
Than sitting in your squad car and pulling people over for going 10 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah, it all depends on who you talk to. Are you talking to the person that just got a citation for going 10 over, or are you talking to the kid that you know, we're playing catch with at the park?
And you know what? Maybe after having a really negative interaction with somebody on a traffic stop, maybe that is the best thing to do, is go play with some kids at a park and, you know, make the bad part of your day go away.
I really think the best thing we've done is played bingo at you know, retirement homes. That is also a great thing.
It's kind of like us. When we have a really nasty day here, we just, like, play our favorite songs on the radio and crank it up and don't let anybody bother us.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I just we've really kind of covered some things that I've been meaning to say for a lot of years, and I'm glad that I did. I appreciate my staff. And going back to the Chiefs Conference and listening to chiefs and captains and sheriffs and, you know, lieutenants talk about their agencies, I am blessed with the people that work at the Pertusian Police Department. I feel so blessed as their chief to work with them every day. It's just tremendous. It's just, I can't, you know, I grew up across the street from this place that was the public safety building, that was the police department. Cops have been my heroes since the day I could speak. And they still are, because they are making sacrifices every day to make this community better. And, you know, it's humbling to be their chief. So,
makes sense. You know what's actually really funny is that you came in here this morning and I said, Kyle, do you have anything you want to talk about? And you said, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought, I bet this one's going to be a really short one.
But listen, for 4 years, it's kind of been like that, and we've always come up with something. So
we're going on 19 minutes.
Yeah, it's good.
It's actually really funny because I think it does just show how passionate you are about your job. And again, I guess we have to keep doing this because we keep finding things to talk about, even when we think we have nothing to talk about.
We should also mention that if you're hearing crying in the background, it's actually Hawk, our therapy dog. And there was a crash of headphones. He pulled some headphones down off the table. So we apologize to the listeners for those disruptions. But
I was petting him in the middle of
okay.
your monologue.
Yeah, he is okay, and the headphones will be fixed.
They'll be fine. And you know what? As always, bring Hawk. The last time he came, I think he found every speck of dust in the studio. I had the intern, Reese, clean the studio. So this was a test. His beard is not near as dirty this week.
Definitely not.
Not near as dirty. So I guess the intern gets a pass this week. It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tinor from Dunkin' Donuts in Prairie du Chien.